and you're on 97.73 SERFM, and you're on the VFL Footy Show for this Saturday morning, the 2nd of May, round 4 in this sensational season so far for the moment. But in the meantime, what we'll do, we'll just go over last week's results before Kane arrives. And last week we had the Box Hill Hawks versus Coburg Tigers. Box Hill, first time in 6 attempts versus Coburg, they've actually got up and won. They scored 14-13-97 in a big upset over the Coburg Tigers, 12-6-78. Northern Bullants versus Port Melbourne. First time in 5 attempts for the Bullants versus Port Melbourne, so another big upset there. Kicking into a strong win most of the game, both teams. The Northern Bullants were victorious, 17-9-111, defeated Port Melbourne 9-14-68 at the NAB Oval in a big upset there. Williamstown versus Werribee Tigers. It's the lowest score by the Werribee Tigers since 2004, since I decided to do the stats from then on. 2004, they scored 3-6-24, the Werribee Tigers, the lowest score in those, six seasons or thereabouts. And Williamstown victorious, 12-18-90. So a big win there for the Williamstown Seagulls. Frankston versus the Casey Scorpions. 4 wins in a row for the Casey Scorpions versus Frankston. 8-9-57 Frankston were defeated comprehensively by the Casey Scorpions, 14-12-96, who actually scored against the wind in the final quarter, where in the first three quarters, I think it was, I think Frankston might have scored one goal in the third quarter against a strong breeze, and Casey Scorpions actually scored a few goals in the last quarter. I think they might have outscored Frankston in that last quarter, but it was very, very close, and they were victorious by 29 points. Bendigo versus Collingwood, only the second time these two teams have met since the Collingwood standalone. And 2-0 now to Collingwood. They were victorious, 13-11-89. Bendigo Bombers, 6-10-46. And the final game for discussion on this round three, actually North Ballarat, they made it 4 wins in a row against Sandringham. They were victorious in a low-scoring game, 8-8-56 North Ballarat at the Trevor Barker Oval, so big upset there. And Sandringham just 6-6-42 in a low-scoring encounter. Now, some of the interesting things that have gone on in this season so far after first round. Bendigo's first time they've been 0-3 since 2006. Box Hill, 2004 through to 2008, were 1 win and 12 losses. This season already, they've got 1-2 out of 2. So Casey, it's their worst start since 2004, when they were 0-3. Collingwood, better start this year than last year, because they're only into their second season of a standalone club. Frankston, it's their worst start since 2004. Geelong, it's their worst start since they were 0-2. And North Ballarat, worst start. It's their worst start since 2004 with a 1-1. So they've been fairly consistent over the start of each season. And Port Melbourne, believe it or not, it's their best start since 2004 when they were 2-0. So just some quick stats for the early part of this season.
Because the Coburg Casey game that we could have broadcast is shaping up as a very interesting one. And a couple of big names in that Coburg lineup, and
half the Richmond side.
But it was a big improvement, wasn't it, on the Casey Scorpions performance last week against Frankston. So they're not as bad as everyone expected. They took Port Melbourne the 4 points. They had a chance to win that game, and then they backed up last week in a very impressive, to think they were facing that 8-goal breeze down to the Yonge Street end. The wind was that strong, it was blowing trees over. Mm-hmm. That's how. Like, there was a tree that went over Yonge Street just before the game, and a tree came down where the old grandstand would have been there, so it would have probably been scary for some of the faithful that would have been sitting up there. But no, it's was a terrible weekend of football on Sunday.
Yeah, weather-wise.
Due to the weather. But, yeah. I mean, the games weren't really that entertaining. We didn't have a goal at the Bay Street end of Frankston for 85 minutes, and then Frankston went into three-quarter time 33 points down, and That was the same margin they faced in the second quarter, which they picked up in about 15 minutes of play.
They did. They hit the lead at the 15-minute mark, and they went into the halftime break about 4 points ahead.
Yep.
Yeah. And then disappointing for half the quarter. They were matched by Casey.
And I guess going into the final quarter, because of their second quarter performance, you thought Frankston were definitely a chance. But once again, their forward line didn't really fire. They didn't really even get the ball inside. Forward 50 for the first 5 minutes of play. And
Justin Berry got most of his possessions on the wing or the halfback flank.
Oh, young Stockdale did a fantastic job on Justin Berry last week. And I don't think Murray even touched the ball for the whole game. So Casey have definitely improved, and with that sort of performance, depending what Melbourne players are going to be available as well.
Yep, no Robbo this week.
No Robbo this week, but Newton might get dropped back to the Casey Scorpions. So, you know, Wanamiri will still be running around there, and Shane Valenti's been impressive. Matthew Whelan returning to the Casey Scorpions senior list, and, you know, they're led by Silvani and Wall. Kyle Matthews was fantastic last week.
I wonder if the Casey Melbourne players can get back to their Sandringham Melbourne players form.
Oh, well, I thought there's a couple of the young Melbourne players stepped up in some pretty tricky conditions last weekend. McNamara, and I've been impressed with that young boy, Geordie McKenzie. I don't see him listed there to play this week, so he might be out injured. But, you know, it is the depth of the Casey Scorpions that are going to make that team going through the year, because Melbourne's got a young list, obviously. So, you know, Matheson and McCready, and McCready's returning from suspension. Vernon, you know, these players. Pinoza, I thought, was good because no one was manning up on him all day. So, you know, their back line is predominantly Casey Scorpions players. So there's a good future down there for Peter German and the boys, and obviously the local team to Casey Radio, but they're playing in the ABC game this afternoon against the Coburg Tigers, and we mentioned that some Richmond players are playing there. Schultz is definitely out of favour at Richmond at the moment. Ben Cousins, he's returning, so he'll be getting amongst it out there at Coburg.
What bit of a shock on the Coburg list. Robin Nahas has been named on the half forward flank.
Yeah, but Richmond has an extended bench on there.
I hope he doesn't play. Coburg, that is.
He'll be... well, you'd want him to play for Coburg, Jim. We're here to pump up the VFL.
You want him to play for Richmond.
No, you want him to play for the Coburg side. You want the Coburg Tigers to win.
You want players to advance themselves.
No, we're talking about the VFL here, mate. You want him to play. Other games going on today. There's plenty of football Saturday afternoon here in the VFL. We had a plethora of games to choose from, and hopefully we've gone with the right one. But our broadcast game this afternoon will be Collingwood versus North Ballarat. We're going back to Visy Park. We've commentated a few Collingwood games so far in 2009, and for a team that finished at the bottom of the ladder last year, they have really improved leaps and bounds. Obviously, at the start of the season, Collingwood don't have that many injuries. There'll be a couple of late changes to the Collingwood VFL side, obviously with Wellingham and... Wellingham came in, and Corrie was the other player that came in.
Yeah, Joel Corrie.
No, and what's his name?
Anthony Corrie. Sorry. Yeah. It's the second time in 2 weeks I've said Joel Corrie when it's Anthony Corrie. So, there is a Joel Corrie who plays pretty good football for Geelong, though.
Yeah, but it's Corrie as well.
But same thing.
Well, no, it's not. Corrie is replacing, and Wellingham will be out of that list. So, but they've got an extended bench, so it probably gives an opportunity for someone like Frosty or Chris Pendlebury to get a run in that second team. They're taking on last year's premiers, the reigning premiers, North Ballarat, and we'll speak to Jared Fitzgerald hopefully sometime during this morning's program. And the Roosters, well, they've had an up-and-down start to 2009, but when you have a look at their list, they've only got seven or six players from the Kangaroos list actually selected in that senior side. So they are part alignment, and a very strong Roosters outfit will run out on Visy Park this afternoon, and that's going to be a cracker of a game, North Ballarat and Collingwood. So tune in from 1 o'clock. Williamstown versus Sandringham, Cross Bay rivals. They'll be starting at Burbank Oval, and having a look at the conditions here, no wind, which is always a good thing at Williamstown, but there'll be some sort of bay breeze there. They're taking on Sandringham, who lost last weekend against North Ballarat at home in those tricky conditions on Sunday. Williamstown have really started the season well, haven't they? Keeping Werribee to only 3 goals last weekend, Jimbo.
Yep, and the lowest score since 2004 when I started taking sort of statistics.
And Williamstown, look, they've got a very good line-up there once again.
Yeah, since 2004, Sandringham won 7 in a row against Williamstown, and Williamstown have won the last 3 against each. So it's now 3-7. with Williamstown winning the last three encounters.
Now, I happened to speak to Goose McGuire's mum at work yesterday. She called through and having a bit of chat about young Matt at centre-half back, and we both agreed it's nearly time for him to make the step up in grade to the AFL. He's hasn't played this many games in a pre-season ever, has the Goose, and we saw him round one, and he looked in fantastic form, and he continues to fly there at centre-half back. He's definitely not a backup centre-half back at St Kilda. You know, that would release players like Goddard and,
well, he was
and
probably
Sam Fisher.
First picked in the defence when he was fit.
Well, he was nearly at All-Australian centre-half back when he was up and going. So that's very strong. That's going to be a very good game of footy as well this afternoon. It's a shame we don't really get access to a proper broadcasting position at Williamstown, because we're out exposed in the weather, and you're kind of left open to a big risk.
Elements.
Yeah, exactly, a big risk. And but that's going to be another good game of football. So there's probably, you know, out of the three games I've mentioned, two of the games will be for top four positions later on, come to the finals. And you imagine Williamstown, Sandringham, North Ballarat, and Collingwood can stay fit. You imagine Collingwood were going to be playing towards the finals. And the other game, as part of Saturday afternoon football in the VFL, is Port Melbourne versus Geelong at TAC Oval. And I guess I really don't need to rehash last weekend's comments, Jim, but Port Melbourne were very, very disappointing.
Yep.
It's probably this. I put it out there to our listeners just how bad it was, and it was nearly as bad as when they played Frankston last year at Frankston. So it was a disappointing performance. Anything they've learned under Gary Ayres was thrown out the window. You could tell within about 15 minutes of the first quarter that the Bulldogs had them on toast. Port Melbourne didn't come out to play at all. They didn't look switched on. They weren't doing the team things. You know, they were getting in each other's way, going for marks and not shepherding. And the Northern Bulldogs just set up that zone about 70 metres out of their forward line, because that's where Port Melbourne build their play, off the half-back line with players like Brewer and Corey McGrath. So it's smart football, out-coached by David Teague at certain times, because they didn't have a plan B. There was no change in game plan. They just kept on going for it and trying to kick it. And against the breeze, the ball was falling into the zone's lap, and then against the breeze, it was going over the zone.
That's right.
But the players were trying. There's no players there to try and mark it. I mean, even their defence couldn't read the wind.
Yep.
And on Saturday, there was nearly as hefty breeze on Saturday as there was we faced at Frankston, because, I mean, players like Hartlett, who you wouldn't consider to be one of the most penetrating kicks in the VFL competition, the Carlton-listed Adam Hartlett with his new blonde rinse, he was kicking the ball 70 metres.
Yep.
He kicked it. He got it. Picked it up 30 metres out of the defence, and the ball finished on the second bounce deep inside forward 50. So,
yep. Two players that were very ordinary for all the wrong reasons for Port Melbourne were John Baird and David Robbins. They were really shadows of their former glories.
Well, I mean, Johnny Baird did a couple of very selfish things. You know, putting himself into position to try and receive the 1-2 rather than shepherding for the young player to keep going. And then there was that incident that I was disappointed with David Robbins, who, you know, at his best is probably in the top 10 midfielders in the comp. You know, you don't like to make comments about someone in David Robbins' ilk, but I don't know if he's 100% fit or just struggling, because he spent a lot of time in the forward line. And one time he ran onto the footy about 40 metres out from goal, and he had Northern Bulldogs coming to his left, and he had two Port Melbourne teammates run to his right into space. He tried to blind turn the Northern Bulldogs players and got tackled holding the footy. I mean, at that stage, I think they were only 22 points down, coming back against the Bulldogs in that second half. And, you know, they're game turners. And then Bonadio, I mean, he's given away more free kicks that end up in goals than he's actually kicking at the moment. I mean, there was that pack contest where the ball spills out and Bonadio just picked up his opponent and threw him to the ground. It was just undisciplined football, which cost him another goal. And they were out. They were beaten by the Bulldogs, who looked very impressive in patches against Port Melbourne. And there will be our Sunday broadcast game, the Northern Bulldogs. They're taking on Frankston again, or we'll see them again for the first time this year. And I've got a bit of a feeling that's going to be very one-sided at Vizzy Park tomorrow afternoon. And then you've got the final Sunday game, which was our original choice, but we gave it to 3WBC. Werribee Tigers versus the Box Hill Hawks. down there at Barnacarta Oval. So Box Hill Hawks have continued their good form. They're 2-0. Two wins for the Box Hill Hawks, and Jim, you wrote them off. And we're going to keep you to that. But very strong lineup listed there once again. And one player who we didn't really know about, but all of a sudden we do, Marco Ballo, playing for the Box Hill Hawks. I think he came from Central Districts. He is an absolute gun. Best on ground last week, and from all reports, Jimbo, this guy can really play the game. So the Box Hill Hawks have unearthed someone that could really push forward in their midfield and replace, obviously, the loss of Batsanis and Alistair Neville.
Excellent. I think I've done the wrong stats for the Frankston North Ballarat game, so I'll ignore them for a start. I think I've got the North Ballarat stats instead of Northern Bullants.
Well, North Ballarat is our Saturday game. They're playing today.
Yep.
So what stats are you going to go through for us?
Not for the North Ballarat, Northern Bullants Frankston game, because I've got the wrong ones.
Yeah, well, okay. Well,
okay, I'll give you
What stats are you throwing at me here, mate?
The Coburg-Casey game. Coburg lead after eight games against the two sides, 6-2. So take that what you want. Williamstown versus Sandringham. As I said before, Sandringham lead 7-3 in their 10 encounters. Collingwood, they lost against North Ballarat last year, so it's 1-0 for North Ballarat. Port Melbourne versus Geelong. Port Melbourne lead 5-2 after 7 encounters. Werribee versus Box Hill. Werribee 5-4 against Box Hill. And I'll ignore the North Ballarat Frankston clash because they're not playing.
We'll just move on from there. So you're struggling with the early morning wake ups on a Saturday, aren't you, Jim? They're catching you on the hop
a
little bit.
No, I'm all right. I did that Wednesday. So. Well, North Ballarat, Northern Bullants. I just looked at the North and unfortunately went for the wrong one.
Well, round three was complete Anzac Day weekend. And going through just quickly some highlights of that round of football. We mentioned the Northern Bullants versus Port Melbourne there. The Bullants beating their traditional rival, which I think they're going to try and make an Anzac Day fixture now, aren't they? The Northern Bullants versus Port Melbourne, and Richard Hadley winning the Anzac Day medal there in that game at NAB Oval. The Bullants game on Sunday is actually at Visy Park. There's some talk about the NAB Oval surface. I didn't think it was that bad. It's not perfect.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I reckon it was the wind that was the problem.
And then the other Anzac Day game was the Box Hill Hawks versus the Coburg Tigers. And a fully listed Coburg side wasn't good enough to beat the Box Hill Hawks at home. So good work to them. Stanger, if you're listening in at Boronia there, mate, make sure you give us a call and talk up your Box Hill Hawks, because we can't get out there to see you this year. No, your broadcast will be dominated by 3WBC.
And it looks like we won't be doing their away games in a lot of
We get them twice, I think, for the season, the Box Hill Hawks. We'll get them against Casey in a couple of weeks. And then we'll get them on the Queen's birthday weekend when we go to Bendigo for the Bendigo versus Box Hill game. So we will get them twice. And we might be able to try and sneak them in towards the end of the season. So good win there by the Box Hill Hawks. Now, we mentioned Williamstown were too strong for Werribee. Casey were too strong for Frankston. Collingwood defeated Bendigo. And in the final game, North Ballarat won by about 13 points against Sandringham. Jack Richter was there for us.
He was.
He didn't know what game venue we were at, so we ended up going to the Sandringham.
It worked out well, though, didn't it?
Oh, well, lucky, yeah.
Did some good crosses with John Zarb and Jack Richter. And I think Jack Richter was anchored down for most of the afternoon, so he wouldn't blow away.
But, we've got some roving reporters getting around during season 2009 as well. I'd offer the VFL texting service, but I don't actually have the phone with me. We might have to go back via Berwick on the way to the football to pick that up. But if you are looking to text some of the coaches we'll have on today, we will be interviewing Gavin Brown. And I imagine Ben's contacted Jared Fitzgerald. We'll speak to him anyway and tee it up for him this afternoon. So that game was actually moved from Eureka Stadium. That was originally the ABC game. So they've. I don't think Eureka Stadium's quite ready to go yet after summer. And they've had to move that game to Visy Park, which means North Ballarat are likely to have probably a string of home games to run out the season there. So that one's gone down to the 2:00 start at Visy Park, and Coburg versus Casey. If you're planning to go out there, make sure you arrive early. because it is now the ABC game. And you would imagine there'll be a pretty big viewer audience there today, Casey versus Coburg, especially if it's getting relayed anywhere, because Ben Cousins will build enough, I guess, hype in the VFL this weekend. That'll be the main story, you would imagine, see how he goes. All the TV crews will be down there.
Cochin as well.
Oh, Trent Cochin, yeah. He's returning from his Achilles injury. So it's good to see Richmond respond, wasn't it, Jim, for yourself last week to get a win? You felt good about it?
We had to.
Well, you couldn't beat Melbourne, so yeah, you had to respond.
We didn't beat Melbourne.
Melbourne's the measuring stick at the moment, isn't it? We knock you off and then played you in the form. So nearly knocked off the Crows last weekend, and Gary Ablett will beat us by himself tomorrow.
Nearly beat the Crows.
Nearly beat the Crows.
Only because they were laughing that much that they forgot to play football.
We got to within 5 points, and then Juice Newton, after reserve my comments about, kicked the ball into the post, and then bait missed from 40. You know, we had the Crows on toast. If you actually wanted to watch the game, we were penetrating their zone, and they had no answer.
Yep, the lowest score in that halftime since 1995, when Fitzroy, 3 points or something?
We'll still win a premiership before Richmond, though, so... You know, you guys were destined for greatness, and you won't even make the finals this year, and you'll have your coach gone by round 12.
Giving you a 26-year head start, so...
That's all right. We're here to talk about the VFL, the Saturday morning show here on KC Radio, Kane Pollard, and gentleman Jim Hines, who turns a big 5-0 next week, people, so it'll be an extra special edition of the Saturday morning footy show.
Another day in the life of Jim Hines.
We'll have to go through and get some of your highlights, some of the earlier work. I'm sure we'll have to feature on the
reel in a minute.
But how's your tipping going this year? I know Tristan.
I'm equal third.
Flunked out in round three after a perfect start.
I think the leaders are on 14.
Yes.
I'm third. I'm equal third. You're equal fourth.
Well, I had I started off terribly and then got a six. I tipped them all, so. That wasn't a bad comeback there, but the VFL tipping run by George Passaris, and we're supposed to get George on this program because...
Yeah, I've got his number. If we don't get in contact with Simon, we'll...
We're not going to play it like that, Jim. We're not going to have people come off the substitute bench, but we'll tee it up with George, and we'll get him involved with the Saturday morning program, because no one knows the VFL better than George. He runs the tipping comp and sends out his weekly preview and his results. I don't know how he gets to every venue, but he keeps them pretty detailed. And
I think I've seen him at the races a few times, at Balnarring and Druin. Yeah, I'm sure I've seen him there.
He gets himself around to too many of the local events. He's a VFA stalwart, and he's kept going with the VFL. So he's been a fantastic contributor to local level footy for many years. And, he's always open for a chat, and we'll get him on the program throughout the year. We haven't heard from Stanger, though. That's a little bit disappointing. He's been involved with every year of the footy show.
Basking in the glory of the Mustangs.
Yes, they're...
2-0 after three rounds.
And they're a chance, looking at this weekend's games, to go three straight if they can continue their form, because Werribee would have to turn it around quite a lot. Now, something that came out of the Williamstown-Werribee game, which is a little bit quirky in itself, is the fact that Nathan Thompson, their big gun full forward recruit for 2009, actually arrived to the game 15 minutes late. People would know Nathan Thompson from the Sunday morning footy show with James Brayshaw as host. And he just arrived 15 minutes late due to some tricky traffic conditions that he faced. And I'm sure that would have been unsettling for everybody in the Werribee lineup to think that their, I guess, most experienced footballer didn't start till about 20 minutes into the first quarter. And I know they need to get that rectified. He signed on for, I think, a 15-game contract, so there might be a couple of weekends where he's not going to be available anyway. So hopefully this weekend, being playing on another Sunday, but they start at 2 o'clock, so it's down at Werribee. He's going to probably have to vacate the Sunday footy show earlier than he did last week to make sure he gets there, or he might have this weekend off. So hopefully they get that sorted out, and we'll speak to Simon Atkins about that and the Werribee Tigers form of 2009 and where they're actually heading after a very disappointing week last weekend. But we're writing that weekend off. You can't get any form from the Sunday because of the treacherous winter-like conditions that we faced. So